In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears, real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Well, all right, y'all. All across the USA, Compton Watts, Bay to LA, Pomona, California, from valley to valley, we represent that killer county. So if you're keeping it real on your side of your town, you tune in to Gangsta Chronicles.
Gangsta Chronicles, we gon' tell you how it goes.
If I lie, my nose will grow like Pinocchio. We gon' tell you the truth and nothing but the truth.
Gangsta Chronicles, this is not your average show.
You're now tuned into the real MCA, Big James, and Big Stills.
This is strictly from the streets.
Hello.
We represent the streets.
Where are you at? This is OG Gangsta Granny, and the Gangsta Chronicles podcast is back in effect. Get ready for some of that G shit.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles podcast, and I'm with my homeboys,
Jay,
Jill, and we got a special guest tonight. I shouldn't say guest because he's more like family, all the way live via satellite from Brooklyn. No, not via satellite because he's really here.
I'm
about to
sleep with that.
Yeah, goddamn it.
Come on, shit.
I'm in the building in flesh. This is my first time in Cali.
That's not no hologram right
first,
there.
This is my first time in Cali.
Yeah. Oh, shit, okay.
First time ever in California, man.
Can you meet y'all, shit?
It was kind of warm today.
Yeah.
It was kind of warm today, so you had a good day today.
No, I went to Hollywood because I'm expecting to see this, you know, this glamour and glitz. All I saw was a lot of homeless people out there.
And that's what I told you when you came out. When you came by the crib, I tell you, I said, you can go to Hollywood if it's your first time here, but you're going to be disappointed as a motherfucker.
I'm looking at the stars, like the ground is dirty. I'm like, yo, where 50 Cent star? Where Michael Jackson star?
Oh, shit.
It was a little different. A little different than what I expected.
So how Cali treat you so far?
Why y'all drive so fast out here? What's wrong with y'all, man? No, that's not. We in New York. Speed limit 25 miles per hour.
When I came to New York.
But y'all ain't got no motherfucking lanes in New York, you know? Shit, not the way they do drive and shit. When you go down one of them one-way road, Manhattan, motherfuckers will be all over the place, shit. Yeah.
And I ain't never seen people just sit on the police car and drink. When I did, motherfuckers were sitting on the police car and drinking.
No, we definitely don't care about the police at all. We'll turn the police car upside down, too, in New York. No, the funniest thing is, y'all ever heard of the Guardian Angels?
Yeah.
Guardian Angels in New York. We used to whip their ass. I was whipping, too. So
right,
because they thought they was the police.
But they was protecting people.
We was ignorant, though. Like, we was beating the Guardian Angels up. Come on. Imagine a white boy in a beret telling you, don't hop the train.
Was that what they was? They wasn't motherfucking Sylvester Stallones and shit.
No. You ever
seen the motherfuckers were
Curtis Sliwa.
Okay.
He's whipping their ass. When the gangs hit New York, the gangs always existed in New York. But
as far as back as I can remember.
Yeah,
but they wasn't
Crips and Bloods.
Exactly.
It wasn't Crips and Bloods. That happened in 93. They hit, and it started in prison. Well, some of the Crips was in the street, though, believe it.
Okay.
Because they really got sanctioned from over here.
And was that a transition of niggas getting released and then going to New York and then setting up the different gang sanctions or whatever?
No, the Bloods started in prison.
What was that, the UBN?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That started in prison in New York City because they was fighting against the oppression of the Latin Kings.
Okay.
Because the Latin Kings, you know, they was just like all of the Spanish dudes get together and they was running shit, you know, and then a lot of the black guys were guard bodies, you know what I'm saying? Mm. So the guard bodies, even though they get busy, they whip ass, they, you know, they deal with lessons and all that, but it was like, yo, hold on, we need a way to fight these motherfuckers, so we need something to do. So that's how the UBN formed, you know what I'm saying? So it started from a guy named OG Mac, and he put all the stuff together, and they had different blood sets, but it was called the UBN, United Blood Nation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that was in prison. Then it hit the streets because dudes was getting released, and then they was coming out of jail. But it never was meant to, as far as I was told, it never was meant to be on the street the way it was. It was only meant to protect black men from the races. Because when you go to prison in New York, it's Spanish against black. Straight up. It ain't no unity. So you might have a Puerto Rican rapper or Puerto Ricans. Because I rock with Puerto Ricans. Shout out to all Puerto Ricans. But when you go to jail, you got to pick a side.
Well, it's pretty much the same thing out here, too. Right. The same thing out here with the Mexican brothers, you know.
Yeah.
And jail. And actually, man, we had like a lot of politics out here when it comes to that, because I get people sometimes ask me, how come you don't never have any Mexican homies on the show? I said, I have asked them to come, but they scared of the aftermath of the replies. Well, if they come here fucking with us, it might be some issues, as crazy as that sounds.
With their own people.
Yeah, with their own people, you know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah. It's sad because at the end of the day, when we look at it and we really gonna look at it for what it is, we all oppressed.
Yeah, for real.
And I'm cool with a gang of essays and shit. So I'm cool with a gang of motherfucking essays.
Because of poverty and because of neighborhood, we start oppressing each other. You know what I'm saying? So now you got the blood gang in jail form to fight the Mexican. I mean, not the Mexicans, to fight the Spanish. So that would be the Dominican. But then you got other groups like Dominican Power. Then you got Nietas. You had all types of splinter things within that. But they all rule was they ain't messing with the blacks. So you go to Rikers Island, you got a Spanish TV and you got a black TV.
Exactly.
The world is together. You know what I'm saying? But it was really, really, really bad at a specific time in New York. So before that, though, you had guard bodies, which I don't consider to be a gang because they deal with a lot of knowledge itself. But again, that was something that was predominant in prison at one point, because having guard body lessons was considered to be contraband. So you had to remember the lessons and you had to teach somebody all of cap. You had to remember all these lessons and teach somebody off of memory. You know what I'm saying? So, because you couldn't have the lesson. You couldn't have.
So you knew this?
No, I didn't know the guard body lessons, though. No. I never knew that. You know what I'm saying? I came across it. I know some of the lessons, but I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't taint the people who's true to it and say, yeah, I'm this, that, and the third. That's one thing I don't do.
So hold up. Just to reiterate what you said, they considered the lessons as positive as they were contraband?
It's contraband, yes.
That's crazy, man, because that's like a real positive thing.
That's even with any constitution in the penitentiary, if you get caught with it, it's contraband.
It's contraband.
You go to the hole for that shit.
Yep. Is that right?
You might stay in there for 90 days. It all depends on your ranking.
Oh.
If you are a general or something, they know you there, it could be.
So from that, but prior to that, when I was coming up, we had Decepticons, we had Low Lives, We had Autobots, you know what I'm saying? And
so you did belong to a gang.
Yeah, but it was my gang. You see what I'm saying? It was something that we made.
How you say every gang was made, bro?
No. I made up the name, the colors, and everything. I just wasn't the leader. I was
so
the
did y'all beef with other gangs?
Yeah, we beef with Decepticons.
So you were a gang member?
No, I'm not denying it. I said I was never a blood.
James said you was a gang member. Fuck that.
No. What I'm saying is when the Bloods and Crips hit New York, I wasn't a part of that.
Right.
What I was a part of pretty much ended by the time that was coming in.
Right. Are some of the guys that was with you went to
No, we still Raiders to this day.
They was always Raiders. He showed up to the crib and all that Raiders stuff. I said, man, people go think you a Long Beach insane, man. They go think you down with Trey D.
All day.
Raiders shit, yeah.
All day.
Even the tattoos, you know what I'm saying? 927 on the phone is WAR.
Okay.
So this was for Wild Ass Raiders. You know what I'm saying? Waverly Avenue Raiders. Waverly and Atlantic Terminal Raiders. You know what I'm saying? So this is a W on the phone. So, because I went... And that's war. I didn't want to put war on my arm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I had this tattoo for a long time. So every last one of my dudes got this tattoo. You know what I'm saying? But it was more of us being oppressed by the Decepticons. Mm-hmm. So we on my block. And I remember shout out to the Decepticons too, because we cool as hell now. Like I would go to war with them before I might go to war with some of my old partners, you know what I'm saying? Because we laugh about now with the Decepticons, and shout out to Steel, Blitz, shout out to Swindle, shout out to all the, you know what I'm saying, the Decepticons. I'm missing some of them too, my bad. We grew up together. So it's funny that the dudes you have beef with, you beef with them so long, y'all grew up together. Y'all almost like partners, you know what I'm saying? So when you get a certain age and you start getting gray in your beard and you have kids and some of them got grandkids, it's like, but that shit was dumb, you know what I'm saying? Because you start saying, what was the foundation of the beat? I remember you looked at me and all that shit, but it's like, so yo, we was
maturity is a motherfucker.
Yeah, we was shooting at each other, we was doing, because somebody, and that's what that shit stemmed from.
Some was lucky because some kids you grew up turned the opposite side and wound up getting killed.
Oh, no,
we wound up shooting at each other.
We got some casualties. We got some casualties. You know what I'm saying? My best friend named Juicy, 16, 17, got in the head. I found him in Brooklyn Hospital.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that was like the point of my life where, all right, where you going? Because I felt so much vengeance that I was like, somebody got to die. Like, you killed, you know, somebody. His mother, you know, used to always say, the only time y'all not together is when y'all in the shower. Or one of y'all in the bathroom. But other than that, y'all inseparable. You know what I'm saying? So y'all only separate when somebody going to take a bath or somebody going to use the bathroom. But other than that, y'all spend all y'all time together. So that was somebody like when they killed him, it was like somebody got to die. But I was like, you know what, man? We had just built a studio. I was down with Trackmasters. You know what I'm saying? I was going to Coachella. I was over there every day. So I was getting into the music industry, you know, and I realized I had a talent. And when he got killed, I was in the studio. I mean, I was in the house making beats. We just bought an SP-1200, a 950. And I bought the SP-1200 because we went into Sam Ash. And I said, what equipment Pete Rock got? And they said, yo, he got an SP-1200, 950. Well, that's what I want. Because he just did this Mecca and the Soul Brother and all that, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he had some joints.
Yeah, right, so then I would go to Coachella and have Dissolve at 72nd Street, and they went into Epic Street. That was my introduction to MCA and his music. I never met him, but one of my big homies in the music industry, OJ, was a part of Epic Street.
OJ, Wedlaw.
Yeah, OJ Wedlaw. We used to call him, like, OJ took me on the road a few times, you know what I'm saying? He lived in Central Park West, you know what I'm saying? So OJ was in charge of MCA Project, the street team.
Mm-hmm.
What was his title again, Abe? Radio. No, he was doing radio.
Fuck if I know.
Yeah, he was doing radio.
OJ was cool as a motherfucker.
His granddaddy IU came over there too. You know what I'm saying? He did the Lead Pipe album over there. Shout out to IU. So,
granddaddy IU, hard.
Basically, when we came to town, OJ took us everywhere.
Facts. So
all the stores, all the spots, you know, basically.
So I'm a little kid. And I was already on tour. I was Roxanne Sharday tour DJ at 15 for 30 cities. You know what I'm saying? So this is where I met OC. Mm-hmm. I met Lord Finesse. I met Buck Wilder, producer. I met Benzino, who damn near raised me in this music industry. Like, Benzino used to come to New York and be like, yo, I got a video shoot. I need a gun. And I'd be like, all right, I'll come to this video shoot and bring, because he couldn't bring the guns. Uh-huh. I would bring the guns to his video shoot. So some of the guns you see, like on some of his album covers, mm-hmm. is really my guns.
Shout out to the homie Benzino.
Shout out to Benzino.
That's our boy right there. Yeah, Benzino, cool cat.
You know what I'm saying? So in this, it's like when my homeboy got killed, we were so turnt. But I was like, you know what, man? Like, damn, what I'm going to do? Because I really didn't know what I was going to do. As far as, like, we all lost partners. We all lost brothers. But I'm going to get up tomorrow and you ain't going to be there? I couldn't really grasp that. You know what
I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's a crazy concept. Death is crazy.
I couldn't understand. Like, hold up. So he gone? Like he's dead? You know what I'm saying? And then how I found him. When I found him, one of my other homeboys, like a family member, Blacko, got shot. He got shot in the chest. My homeboy got shot in the head, so they transported his body from Franklin Avenue to the Brooklyn Hospital. Mm-hmm. And I remember going outside saying, yo, where Juicy at? Where Juicy? Everybody's like, hell no, they went that way. So I went where they walked. It was tape on the ground. So they was like, I was like, what's going on? He said, they got somebody in Kings County, and they got somebody in Brooklyn Hospital. So I went to Kings County. It was Blacko. I left. So I went to Brooklyn Hospital, and they was like, yo, we got a body. And I was like, so I stood there for a minute like, hold on, y'all got a body in here. The messed up thing about it is that I know who it is. So now I got to go do the reveal of whoever this face is, I'm going to know who it is. So when I went, I just pulled the sheet back and I was like, damn, now I have to call his mother and say.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know, your son is dead, but I don't even know how. I just found him. You know what I'm saying? So that was when I was 17. So I'm going to be real with y'all. That shit, it fucked me up. Like, mentally, I was fucked up because I just wanted vengeance. Like, and that shit made me mean as a motherfucker. Like, if I wasn't mean before that, I was just like, yo, look, man, niggas better not play with me because y'all not going to do me like how y'all did. You know what I'm saying? So we start being on the offense a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? But then this music thing, I got this shit in me too, and I actually got talent. So it's like, man, you gonna do this music shit or you gonna be in the fucking street? And I kind of chose the music. You know what I'm saying? I chose the music, and that shit saved my life. Now, this is how deep it is. When he got killed, I always would have been one, but I was making a beat. If I wasn't making that fucking beat, I would have went with him because we never went nowhere without each other. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, when I started doing music, I was so passionate about it. And people were like, yo, you, this, I'm like, yo, this shit. So when people say music saved my life, that shit literally saved my life.
If you was with him at that time, you think you could have changed something? In those days, when you walked out the house, did you pack a pistol?
Hell yeah, I had a little.
Every time?
2.5. Yeah.
So if you would have been with him, things would have been different.
I would have shot, too.
Things would have been different.
I would have, well, from the circumstances of how they got ambushed, I could have been dead.
Yeah, it could have went either way.
Went either way. Right. Because in this time in Brooklyn, like 93, you know, we was just playing with them pistols, man. Like, we was just,
Yeah, I was out there.
Yeah, we was just playing with, we just fucking with the guns, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I was known to have a little 2.5. I never really wanted nothing big, and I had a little 380, too. You know what I'm saying? But we had SKs. We had all types of shit in Brooklyn. You know, literally, when we come outside with that golf bag, shit was real.
Man, there's just something about that era, though, man, from, like, 88 to, like, 95, man. I think all over the country, everybody was squeezing just real heavy.
Now, mind you, I'm on this block, Waverly. I grew up across the street from a methadone center. Directly across the street. I'm right here, the methadone. It's not even, it might be 10 feet. Because the streets are small in New York, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like in Brooklyn. So I've adapted the ability to identify a dope fiend. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I see that, I'll be like, yo, he fuck with dope. So I'm right here, Biggie is 2 blocks old. I'm 16 years old with a full-blown studio in the house. You know what I'm saying? And this is, my friend got killed, and then he do Ready to Die. He's doing the Ready to Die album at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So I remember Tupac was in town, and Big was like, yo, come with me to see Pop. And I was like, all right, let me go to the liquor store. But I couldn't legally get liquor, so I had to go to the liquor store and get a crackhead to go in there. And my drink of choice at that time was fucking Cisco.
Oh, man, you was drinking liquid crack.
I was drinking Cisco. Oh,
damn.
So I didn't know about liquor.
That lay you down.
Yeah, I was just trying to get the first shit that was going to get me drunk. And me and my partner who got killed, we used to buy the small bottles of Cisco, and we had a race to down the bottle.
Oh, man, I couldn't handle that shit.
This is what I'm saying. This
made
is
my stomach burn.
Yeah. So I said, all right, let me go to the liquor store. So I come back. I'm like, you ready? And Big was like, you know what? Nah, you can't come. I was like, why? He's like, nah, because Pac is crazy. You crazy. I can't deal with two crazy niggas tonight. We'll get up another time. So he went to the hotel to see Tupac. I think Tupac was on. He might have been in the Park of Meridian at the time. You know what I'm saying? He was at the Park of Meridian. So Tupac came to my neighborhood. It was out on Fulton Street.
So how was Tupac to you? What type of person was he?
He had a temper. You know what I'm saying? He had a temper, but he was cool. It just seemed like he just wanted to fuck with the homeboys and just smoke weed, fuck with the chicks. You know what I'm saying? I could see in him, because he's a native New Yorker, but he was raised all over. You know what I'm saying? He raised in Baltimore. He raised in the West Coast. And he kind of, I think, made his bones out here, you know what I'm saying, in the West. But when he came back east, he could just fit right in because he knew what was going on. But I met him once, and then I saw him again at the fucking MTV Music Awards. And the circumstances of seeing him, but that shit is so funny because he died 3 days later.
That's crazy as hell.
3 days later. And it was the whole James. You probably was there because the whole fucking death row with it. You didn't go that time? Yo, listen. I never seen so many niggas that Death Row had out here for the MTV Music Awards. Nas was there. I saw Nas and AZ. I saw mad people, but I'm out there with a half a gallon of vodka pulling the shit in the shopping cart. So my cousin is out there. My cousin Ron and these Death Row dudes like, yo, yeah. We rap. So we out here like, yo, y'all Ron better than us. So like, all right, let's battle. So I'm like, yo, hold up. If we battle, who gonna determine the winner? Because we putting money down.
Right.
Dude, like, fuck it, we just figure it out. So my cousin rap, you know, he New York. He rap West Coast style. So, you know, we like, you ain't really have no, you know what I'm saying? Like, we don't understand the lingo. But after he rap, he like, fuck that, I want payment. You want to pay? We ain't giving you shit. Oh, y'all want to fuck him? So he making a big ass scene. So then he like, that motherfucker don't want to pay me. We look up. I seen a sea of niggas coming. Guess who in the front?
Shoot.
Pac.
Pac was in the front.
So he seen Pac. He like, yeah, Pac, they don't want to pay me. They don't want to pay me. So as soon as Pac came up, I said, yo, Pac, what up? He said, yo, what up? Yeah, they don't want to pay me. He said, well, they don't want to pay you. That's on you, and kept walking. I said, now we fucking him up. Because all the goons left him. You know what I'm saying? But when I seen Pac, I'm going to keep it real. I would be a fucking liar if I didn't say this. I said to my cousin, I said, yo, look, we could run, my nigga, or we could stand here, but these niggas coming. He said, yo, we can't run in New York, man. Can't run from Cali niggas in New York. Like,
it's a long way.
We just got to get...
James said it's a long motherfucking
way. We just
got to
get
way,
fucked
bro.
Up. So we stood there. When Pac came, he was just like, word in one. Because as soon as he came, I just greeted him. Yo, Pac, what up? He looked at me. He was like, oh, what up? Oh, they don't want to pay you? Oh, all right. And he kept walking. And the whole entourage left with him. I said, nah, we going to fuck him up. Because he almost got our ass beat. They didn't help him. So he ran off. You know what I'm saying? I think he actually... was in the movie Rhyme and Reason.
Who was this? Man, I wish I knew who this rapper was.
I'm going to figure it out.
I wish I knew who this rapper was, man. You know what? Speaking of that, man, because it's a misconception. Them boys that 6ix9ine was running with, they actually put in a lot of work, and they had niggas shook out there in New York.
That's my, you know what?
Free 6ix9ine.
Yeah. The little Tekashi, the dudes he was running with was like real cats.
What the fuck? I thought they were
talking
about
him. Yeah, I mean.
No, we didn't talk about him necessarily. No, we talked about the people he was running with.
The dudes he was running with, I knew very shit. Free Mel Murder, you know what I'm saying? Free Nuke, you know what I'm saying? Free all of them guys. You know what's messed up? I had tweeted something, and it's a misconception about a tweet. Vlad put the tweet up. Different outlets put the tweet up. And what I said was, for the people that used to pick on 6ix9ine because he had the rainbow hair, I said, yo, y'all fucking with him. He just a soldier in the army. The niggas he got behind him, that's who you gonna have to deal with. It ain't him.
Was he a soldier in the army? Or
that's what I'm gonna say.
Recruited to the neighborhood.
He wasn't even recruited to the neighborhood. He was recruited to, he was gonna be the one to get them to the money. You understand what I'm saying? But when I'm saying a soldier in the army, regardless of what, when you in the army, When it's an army, if you run with that army, you still got to be a soldier. You understand what I'm saying? It just so happened when he got time to prove himself to be a soldier, he folded. We didn't really have no history on him. I didn't know if he was a gangster or not. So I figured, and I'm going to keep it real with you, I figured these dudes know better, and they know. So if they got him with him, they must have seen him put in some type of work or know he going to put in work. I wouldn't have never thought that.
Well, what happens today is that... they took him up under their wing because he was making money. And, you know, it only starts off with two cats in the hood that's fucking with him. And then now he's introduced to the hood. Once he's introduced to the hood, now he's doing all kind of shit.
Yeah.
And I think it was pretty much benefiting him because now he's out there. Now he has this what you call him, of being a gangster because he's hanging around gangster. And he's selling a lot of shit. He's doing a lot of shit.
or fucking exploit a motherfucker.
Exactly.
That's what I do.
Yeah,
I don't give a fuck. If you want to come over here and start hanging, nigga.
But this is what happened, Ape. Once you do that, the consequences is the motherfucker because you don't know his purpose. This dude is not a gangster.
He ain't authentic.
It was forced upon him. It was laid upon him, not forced. So he wasn't a gangster by nature. He wasn't born into this shit be this type of person.
At all.
And it showed that.
Yeah.
And the consequences was laid on the hood.
For
doing what they doing, having them there.
They took everybody down.
You don't be able to exploit a motherfucker, you're going to be able to exploit him. That's just in a nutshell. You bring a motherfucker around that got bread and shit, the motherfucker gullible and dumb and want to be a part of a motherfucker shit.
But let me correct y'all on something. His motive
was to belong to some shit, because that's going to make his motherfucking juice card a little full.
No, in the beginning, but, remember, he came, he didn't have no money. He was broke, but the potential was there because the way they dressed it up. See, now when I first saw him,
potential to what? To be a rapper?
Money. To get money. Yeah, to get money.
From rapping?
Yeah.
He was already making noise overseas a little bit.
Yeah. Let me tell you why. When I first saw him, right? And fuck him, we ain't gonna make the episode about him, but I'm just saying, when I first saw him, I seen a rainbow hair kid with red bandanas on. I was like, who the fuck am I? They're like, yo, he's from Brooklyn. So me being, you know, my Brooklyn tribalism, I know everybody in fucking Brooklyn. So I'm like, I don't know. But then when I looked behind him, I said, oh, he with them. That's what made me say, okay, I'm a little confused. So I started making phone calls. Like, yo, who the fuck is this dude? Oh, this is the artist, such and such. So what he did was he couldn't come in the game. There's no rainbow hair nigga getting respect. So he used them for the street cred. You understand what I'm saying? And that's when everybody was like, what the fuck is this shit?
Why do you think motherfuckers who are supposedly authentic niggas from the block, why do they conform to letting a nobody in? Is it for the financial purposes?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah, because he got to the money immediately.
Well, I'm going to tell you.
He got to the money immediately. You know what I'm saying?
He got to be a lesson, though, for the rest of these cats, because he's not the only motherfucker.
No.
It's all kind of rappers that decide they want to be, they get to hanging around cats like you. They meet you, eight, right? Now they want to be a Crip. They meet James. Now they want to be a Blood. But when the hammer come down, they going to be the first ones, you know, pointing fingers, because they're not cut like that.
But you know what? See, and see, that's my thing. And you know, to me, intelligence is gangster. Being a father is gangster. Taking care of your family is gangster. You know what I'm saying? And I think people think gangster is the work you put in, the dumb shit you did. That's not what being a gangster is. You know what I'm saying? Because the real gangsters wear suits every day, and they don't lift a finger. They ain't shoot nobody. They ain't stab nobody. But they could get people shot and stabbed. You know what I'm saying? And they could get all the money. So with us, we come from a condition of poverty. We come from get it how you live. And we love emulating shit that we see. Like, when I saw AWAX, all I remember was, hey, homie, you need some help? Mm-hmm. That was like my favorite shit. You know what I'm saying? So he wasn't even MC8 no more. He was AWAX. So when those movies hit us in New York City, believe it or not, Boys in the Hood, we was emulating that shit because we made fun of y'all at first. But then it was like, yo, these niggas, a drive-by? Like, yo, what the fuck is that? Yo, I want to do a drive-by. But now you in a congested-ass city. How you going to do a drive-by? Ain't no highway to get the fuck away. But now we trying to figure it out. You understand what I'm saying? So it was so much shit with the Hollywood shit. And we just really got fascinated with what y'all was doing over here. Now we started emulating that shit in a lot of ways. And that's why the city is so fucking crazy right now.
Well, really,
Brooklyn is a war zone.
Yeah, and really, man, between the movies and another big part of it was gangs, Crips and Bloods moving in Wales was the dope.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot,
and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Because I remember I left Cleveland at 88, right at, towards the beginning of 88. And I remember it was different Crip dudes coming to the city, different blood dudes, because they had the dope. They had the sack and they had cheap prices. Mm-hmm. They didn't come in on no shoot them up, bang, bang, take over shit. They came in, man, I can get you this for this. And niggas was fucking with them. So now, you know, next thing you know, these niggas, they fucking with them. These different in Cleveland, Kansas City, Missouri, different places. Now they start wearing blue, red, because they adapt to the guys that don't came in. They bring that whole mentality over there.
And my you know, it's funny. My favorite color is red and black. I just love the color red. You know what I'm saying? I love the color, but I'm like, man, I can't be fucking defined by no color. So I wear a lot of red. And people be like, yo, I be like, nah, man, I just fucking like the color, man. Like, I just like the color, you know? And it's just crazy how we just defined by that, but the music was so influential because you got to think Snoop had this run. So everybody wanted to be a fucking Crip. You know what I'm saying? Everybody, so we knew the Crips was popping from West Coast. MC8 is the Crip. You know what I'm saying?
That's crazy because my, if you want to say influence, didn't come from watching a motherfucker on TV or nothing like that. I started banging because shit, I was in a household with a single mama. I had a sister. Didn't have no older brother, no older cousins, no older nothing. So I started gang banging because it was the niggas I hung with in junior high school and high school and shit like that. It wasn't because I saw a nigga on TV or was, you know what I'm saying, and was like, man, I gotta be like him.
Boy, man, to keep it all the way.
It was a product of my environment.
Exactly.
That's what it was with us. I think the crime, what I'm saying, the movies, the crime rate increased in New York to a certain extent because we was like, hold up. Like, the lingo, like, hold up. Because when I first heard Cypress Hill, the group, we thought they was from Brooklyn. Because it's a project in Brooklyn, notorious project called Cypress Hills.
I think everybody did that.
Yeah, so we was like, yo, it's Mexicans at Cypress Hill. So when we saw, and then remember, they used the EPMD music for Rampage. So we was like, hold up, first of all, they bit EPMD shit, because you know at one point, you couldn't use a nigga sample. If he had that sample, you cannot use that sample. You know what I'm saying? So when we heard Cypress Hill, we like, yo, first of all, these niggas, but then we was like, hold on. Nah, but they rep in Brooklyn. We didn't know they was from the West Coast. You know what I'm saying? So when we was like, yo, all the lingo, I smoke you, it start emulating, making fun of it, to it starts becoming a part of you now. You understand what I'm saying? So I started seeing niggas in Brooklyn with Dickie suits and shit like that. Mm-hmm. And we started, and the first person that we seen wearing Dickie suits on the East Coast was Trax.
Mm-hmm.
He said rolling timber boots and jail suits in Uptown Anthem. So we started calling the Dickie suits. We started calling them jail suits. You know what I'm saying? But then we went to the Carhartt in New York. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We used to wear Mad Carhartt. You know what I'm saying? We used to wear Mad Carhartt. You either wear the brown or the blue one. You know what I'm saying? And the black one. And then we had 8-ball jackets. We had different shit. But the thing was, New York always had shooting. But it wasn't like, we admired the fact that y'all was getting away with that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because in our mind, yo, we seen boys in the hood. It's a dead body by the fucking train tracks. Like, yo, that shit crazy. You know what I'm saying? And they just walk past the dead body. You got to remember, we had Strapped. We had Juice. Mm-hmm. Look at the contrast of those movies between Colors, Boys in the Hood, and Menace.
And if you ask James, them were some punk-ass movies.
Yeah.
Let me ask the OG at the table, James.
I just say that the movies didn't really show how gangs was really getting down.
Mm-hmm.
It was more watered down than they portrayed it to be.
How accurate was Colors, though? Y'all think I'm from Brooklyn? We do not know this.
James almost choked up.
Like I said, man, when I seen it, I mean, you had the police interacting with gang members.
Okay,
that's true. You had police that was fucking stupid and jumping on gang members and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
That is true. But they're chasing me up the street and I know exactly where you had bullshit and catch your head, bullshit. The only scene that I thought was authentic in that movie is when they showed the jail scene.
That's it.
That. All that other shit, and you know, you did have Bloods turning into Crips, turning into Bloods, hanging with each other, motherfuckers. That's true. You had niggas gang hopping like motherfuckers. But the movie.
But you gotta now look.
I mean, it was commercialized. It was written by fucking who? Oliver Stone? Shit. Now so look, what the fuck?
Somebody that ain't been in the hood. And
so now look, we don't know nothing. I'm a kid from Brooklyn. When I first heard Eazy-E, I bust out laughing because his voice was hopping.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And niggas had jelly curls.
Man, we did that.
We ain't do that in New York. We always had fades and afros and Caesars and flat tops and shit.
Uh-huh.
So we like, hold up. These niggas got their hair relaxed? We just couldn't understand that shit.
I was proud of the Jerry Curl.
So mind you, we didn't get that shit. We didn't really understand it. So I remember my cousin Tab was like, yo, I've never run from a nigga with a Jerry Curl. But this was our mentality. So now we're seeing these movies. So we don't know nothing about y'all. We're learning from the movie and the music. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yo, wow, it's a whole different world over there. They street. But this nigga got a house in the backyard.
Yeah.
We looked at that different because I'm in a building with 31 floors. It's niggas on top of niggas on top of niggas on top of niggas. Any given day, it's like 2,000 niggas outside. It's dice games over here. In Brownsville, where I'm from, it's about 5 different projects.
Mm-hmm.
All in one little vicinity. Coney Island is 10. Because niggas go to Coney Island and think it's the Ferris wheel and all that shit. Okay. You know what I'm saying? So we looking at, yo, this nigga, because we used to say, man, if I had a house, I'd just be chilling because we envy y'all because y'all have houses.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Mr. Marcus came, the porn star came to New York. I took him to the projects. He was like, yo, how many floors this shit got? I said, yo, it got 31 floors. He said, yo, this shit is a skyscraper. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah, well, the projects out here is different, man. The projects out here is more like townhouses, kind of like disconnected townhouses. You know what I mean?
That's condo stuff. That's what I'm saying. So the music and the movies, that's how we learned about each other. Well, that's how we learned about y'all. So we had Strapped. We had Juice. But it wasn't based, it was crime in the movies, but it wasn't really a crime-based movie. Menace is crime. Old Dog is out of his fucking mind. You know what I'm saying?
Straight nut.
Straight nut.
But we had them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a whole bunch of old dogs.
A whole bunch.
Yeah.
It was a whole bunch of old dogs.
And I remember I was talking to JL Felony one time. I did an interview, and shout out to him. I didn't even know what the fuck Sherm was. I was like, yo, Sherm, we gonna smoke a dip? I'm like, yo, what the fuck is he talking about?
Smoke a dip, butt naked. That's what it is, butt naked Sherm.
Sherm in New York?
You call it dust.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But it wasn't. Niggas in Harlem did it. Staten Island niggas did it. But it wasn't all over like that. You understand what I'm saying? So even the drugs was different. Y'all had different weed. Motherfuckers in New York have seeds in their weed. You know what I'm saying? I remember seeing my pops with the album cover doing this shit, picking the seeds out. So everything was so different. You know what I'm saying? Everything was so different.
We have some motherfucking stress weed too now.
Back in
sure.
the day, yeah, you hold that shoebox this way and take the car.
Man, please. Well, take that zigzag motherfucking back.
But where the chronic come from?
That shit out.
Out here?
This is what I'm saying. We didn't have. So out in New York, remember all the rappers used to talk about Branson.
Yeah.
So they only knew one person.
I've been to Branson.
That had so called exotic weed when y'all had that shit all over. You understand what I'm saying? So that was the contrast between us. So when the movies hit, and we see y'all shooting in the movie, and the motherfucker got a military assault rifle, and he rolled down a window and shot a nigga, and this nigga shot Ricky in the alley with a shotgun, you're like, oh, shit. Them niggas is giving it up, because I'm going to be real with y'all. Behind the music, behind the Jerry Curls, behind not understanding the games, we initially thought niggas in the West Coast was pussy. Because I'm telling you, I'm gonna be real with you. Because we was like, yo, niggas got Jerry curls, and niggas is dying over a rag.
See, let me tell you something.
We couldn't get. We was like, yo,
that has always been the perception.
Yeah, we couldn't get it.
I'm gonna tell you something about California,
of,
man.
Of Cali.
Yeah, we didn't.
It's
understand.
Always been these niggas is banging over fucking red and exactly. blue, and that has never been the signification behind gangs over here.
We didn't know that.
Yeah, but. I, like I said, when I would go on tour in my early years, a lot of motherfuckers would be like, man, y'all banging over colors and shit. And you would have to tell a motherfucker, man, it ain't about no motherfucking color, motherfucker. It's about way more than that. But that's the symbolization people got from us because they saw red and blue fucking bandanas.
Because I'm going to tell you what happened nowadays, man. You get a young nigga come out, man, with some tight-ass blue jeans on, a blue jacket, and a blue baseball cap, and blow your motherfucking brains out and tell you this on Bloods, nigga.
Yeah, a lot of niggas don't define.
Am I right, James?
Blue, yeah,
blued up like a motherfucker. And that shit don't mean shit.
Back in vice versa. We were defined by colors. Mm-hmm. You know, you wore some red, niggas knew you was a Blood. You wore some blue, niggas knew you was a Crip because it just didn't happen. Like today, man, you catch me in an all motherfucking red fucking jumpsuit with some burgundy shoes on and whatever.
But now, mind you, me being in New York, 18 years old, and these movies is coming out. You know, I'm like 15, 16 years old. These movies is coming out. This is the representation of it. Now, Ice Cube is in my top five ever. Greatest rappers of all time. You know what I'm saying? Me personally. So I love Ice Cube. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But he didn't portray a gangbanger to me, and I don't even know if he's in the gang. You understand what I'm saying? I don't know anything about his gang affiliation, but I just know I loved Ice Cube. You know what I'm saying? Because his pen, I respected his pen. And then DOC was like, hold the fuck up. DOC? He could rap, so that's what it was. We looked at dudes like, they can't rap. They wear those. They got Jerry curls. They wear these fucking flannel shirts. They always wear, Biggie renamed it to a lumberjack. And where we from, the detectives wear those shirts. So if you see the flannels, who called it? Somebody told me it's called a Pendleton.
Pendleton.
Dale Felton, he told me, yeah. No, Cam told me that. Shout out to Cam.
Mm-hmm.
You see them in that as a fucking detective. So imagine me being a kid looking at this shit like, this is a whole different world. So then when the world started colliding, I understood y'all a little bit more. I started understanding the West Coast, that it wasn't that I'm banging for red. Because then I was like, hold up. So Crips kill Crips?
Oh, man, I'm going to tell
you. We didn't
understand that. Let me explain something to you.
Why cats in New York didn't see that or think like the way I thought? They way over there doing their thing the way they do their thing. Uh-huh. I don't see it as, oh, they on some bitch shit because they one pants leg up, one down, their head twitching.
Uh-huh.
That's their get down. I don't give a fuck where you go. You got gangsters in their own kind of way. You got motherfuckers, not say gangsters, that's with the business. Walk up to you, pop you in your motherfucking head. What's the difference?
Because we only
the same shit.
We learned that from the movies. That's when we knew it was real. That's what I'm saying to you. But prior to that, when we look at, see, because this is another misconception we had. We grew California as California. We didn't know that it was a bay. That ain't had shit to do with L.A. That ain't had shit to do with San Diego. We didn't know that shit. We didn't know. We thought, yo, niggas from Cali. You know what I'm saying? So we grouped everybody, and we grouped y'all in with Too Short, with E-40, with Hieroglyphics. You know what I'm saying? And then we was like, Compton? The fuck is Compton? We just couldn't understand it. You know what I'm saying? And the good thing about, the good thing that came from it, the music and the movies, kind of made us learn about y'all a little bit more intrigued.
Y'all should have did a road trip and clowned a motherfucker with a Jerry curl.
Yeah,
because I'm gonna tell you, man.
Y'all should have
did back, James, tell him, back in '89, you liable to saw a motherfucker, a fat motherfucker with some rollers in his head. And you'd have looked at him and been like that and said something to this nigga, he'd have blew your brains out.
Now look at this, right? Where I'm from, James, it's niggas who never left their block.
Same over here.
I'm talking about nigga never from Brooklyn, never been to Manhattan.
Oh, there's niggas like that out here too.
So when you say niggas should do a road trip, that nigga don't got no social security card, birth certificate. He's just living off the fucking land.
And they over here worried about niggas looking like punks and shit.
Because
they ain't even got identification over here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it ended up being our detriment. We was the birthplace of hip-hop. Right?
True.
We didn't respect.
Well, I didn't give a fuck about the music.
But it always...
I was a gangbanger at that time.
So now look, the gangbangers is getting into music now. From our standpoint, you know what I'm saying?
And we needed that shit.
Yeah, so, but then when you look at gangsta rap in its inception, we had Schoolie D.
Right.
And we had Just Ice.
Right.
And Kool G Rap is probably the most gangsta rapper you ever get, but then remember Kool G Rap came over here and did the album with Jinx.
Mm-hmm.
And niggas in New York was mad at him for that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it was always...
I mean, y'all had y'all representation of gangster music, like you said.
Nah, but y'all niggas was crazy with y'all with that. Because what it was the cursing. We didn't really do the... Besides Schoolie D, Schoolie D was raw, but then remember, he was Philly.
But we banged Schoolie D over here. I did. I banged some PSK.
Yo, we
all
did.
Day.
I'm going to be real with you. I told you, besides NWA...
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot... And every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T Connects and Ode to Podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that three-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
And Compton's Most Wanted? We didn't really listen to that shit. Like, we just didn't fuck with it. So even when South Central Cartel came out, their name was Havoc and Prodigy. What did we say? They bit Mobb Deep shit.
You know what's crazy? They was out before Mobb Deep.
But see, this is what I'm saying. So you could see where then when Snoop came out, it kind of, we love 8, we love NWA, we love Q. But then when Snoop came out, we was like, okay, this shit a little different. And to me, Snoop sound like Brother Jay from the X-Clan. Like, his tone sound a lot like Brother Jay from the X-Clan. So it was kind of, I accepted it. But
y'all kind of adapted.
Y'all was basically just picking and choosing who y'all like from this side of town.
Now, we was on some hating shit.
Definitely.
Be real with you.
That's
Because y'all had Digital Underground. But we didn't accept that as like, that wasn't Cali shit to us. Because he was having fun. He was talking about the Humpty Dance.
No, I mean, just New York being the inception of hip hop.
Yeah, we didn't.
Y'all didn't approve of a lot of shit.
We didn't approve of a lot of shit. Yeah.
But hey, they fucked with you over there.
They fucked with me because I fucked with a lot of New York niggas.
Yeah, he fucked with the niggas that
I fucked
that
with a lot of New York niggas at that time.
So do they think like that now?
Oh, hell no. Nah. I'm talking about
No, it's like, right? It's like 90s.
Yeah. I'm talking about the 90s, early 90s to the
yeah, from the day I got off the plane and started rapping, I was fucking with New York niggas from day one. I listened to a lot of New York niggas. So when I first stepped off the plane, I got, you know, I was fucking with niggas like Harry Fobbs and OJ and niggas like that and Shep and all them.
Well,
so
what about Method Man then? I thought I know they gangsters.
Let me tell you something.
Staten Island, where I live,
if you watch the documentary, my grandmother's responsible for taking Method Man, his mother and sisters, out of a battered woman's shelter and moving them to Park Hill. The reason why Method Man lived in Park Hill is because of my grandmother. You know what I'm saying? My maternal grandmother. He talk about it in the documentary, so y'all can watch that for yourself. So you know, I ain't full of shit. Staten Island is a whole different fucking animal. Because it's not that many projects. But it's so fucking impoverished out there. You know what I'm saying? And you had the Force MDs that made it out there. Then you had the UMCs. Then you had Wu-Tang. You know what I'm saying? And the motherfuckers is, they are, Staten Island is gangsters in Staten Island. These motherfuckers was throwing weights off the building at police. I'm talking about weights. You know what I'm saying? And the dust had hit out there too, which y'all call Sherman.
Right.
So you might be standing there, a nigga just jump off the roof.
Yeah, should do New York like Donald Trump?
I don't know. I really don't know. No. I would say no because he's from
the state. He lost that state. Yeah, he lost
he's from
New
the
York.
Town. I would say no. He's from New York and he's always been an asshole to New Yorkers. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's always been an asshole
right?
Because of what he did to the Central Park Five. Boyz was innocent, and he took out a 2-page ad in the New York Times condemning them, saying that they should be put to death, and they were innocent.
Right.
So New York kind of never really forgave him for that. I shouldn't say the Central Park Five, I should say the Exonerated Five.
Exactly.
That's what they go by now. Mm-hmm. And he never said he's sorry for what he did. But prior to that, him becoming president, I think hip-hop liked Donald Trump because he's in a lot of... His name is a lot of raps.
Why?
Because he was rich.
They like it?
You know, a lot of rappers used to always use his name like Rich, like Donald Trump. I got chips like Trump. You know what I mean? Just...
Guess who's the Black Trump?
I never used this shit in my raps.
Now, though, since he became president, but prior to that, remember, he had Trump Plaza and Casino. That's where all of Mike Tyson fights was at.
Right.
So, he had a casino. He had a boardwalk. He had all this shit. He had Trump Towers. You know what I'm saying? I'm at the Trump International. Asked for me. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Even in King of New York. I'm down to the Trump Tower. You know what I'm saying? So it was always shit that was referring to him. Even if you look at pictures of him, he got pictures with everybody, Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So when he became president and we started seeing his personality a little more, that's when people say, yo, he's a fucking asshole. But prior to that, you never heard him talk. Yeah. Besides the You Fired show and all that shit.
Yeah, shit, it's funny how motherfuckers be so surprised about a nigga motherfucker's character because... Them type of motherfuckers are like that from the jump.
Yeah.
Because a nigga get a couple of photo opportunities or a couple of motherfucking rub shoulders to make myself look good with the Mike Tysons or the rappers referring because this motherfucker, he love it. It gives him some publicity, but the motherfucker probably has always been the same attitude.
This is one thing I want to
be shocked from. That's what I be telling people. Don't be shocked by a motherfucker when you should know from the jump.
This is something I always wanted to know, man. You said you was cool with Biggie and Lil' Kim and them, right?
Yes.
Why you think Kim did her face like that, man?
Because
she's fucked up now. And she was a beautiful-ass girl,
she's
man.
She's still sexy.
What, you know what's
James
funny?
James said she's still sexy.
I'm going to be real with you.
Nigga, what?
I'm going to be real with you. When it comes to Lil' Kim, I'm very protective and very biased.
Right.
And I admit it because I grew up with her. She's somebody.
I ain't got no problem with
her. I ain't got no Kim, and this is not no diss.
I say that because, you know,
I'm a fan.
With her, she been through a lot. You got to think, Big didn't die of old age. Got killed. Mm. The trauma that we go through with death, we never get help for that shit. We go and we do different things, so sometimes you do things to yourself.
So she was in love with Biggie?
Definitely.
Right.
And we all at this table might suffer from something called survivor's remorse. So you have, when motherfuckers die, you say, well, I ain't dead. That shit could have been me.
That. Yeah, I said that.
It's called survivor's remorse.
I don't know what it's called. But
yeah, so now you kind of feel bad because you ain't get killed with your homie.
Or especially if you're that close to a motherfucker and you feel somehow some kind of relation to the death. You get me? Of course, you're going to always be in the situation of why not me?
How did I start this? If I have not made that beat, I would have been with the homie. You understand what I'm saying? Kim might be saying, if I wasn't where I was at, I'd have been in that car. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to remember when that shit happened, I think C's was like 13 and he was a little kid.
Yeah, he was a kid running with them, huh?
Yeah. So when you look at the trials and tribulations that we go through after trauma, what we don't do as Black people, we don't get help. We try to drink it away, smoke it away, fuck it away, be violent.
So you think she altered herself just because she was feeling a certain kind of way? I mean, I watched the movies. And I watched, and to me, like, Biggie kind of, like, dogged her.
Now, me being an insider, you could look at Colors and say that was bullshit.
Right.
I could look at Notorious movie and laugh at this shit because it's comical. I'm happy that they made a movie about one of the homies.
It wasn't true.
But it was so much shit in there that's not factual.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But, again, it's Hollywood. It's a movie.
You got to sell tickets. So we got to make it juicier than whatever.
And this is my disclaimer. That wasn't no diss towards Kim. I just always was curious about that. Yeah,
I'm a fan.
I didn't take that as that. You know what I'm saying? I didn't take that as that. But, again, with her, you know, I know what they went through because I was close to Biggie. I was close to Fat Chris and Biggie Smalls. They was close to Notorious B.I.G., the fucking superstar. You know, mind you, this dude was on the block in the hood. He might come through the block and say, yo, where the chicks at? I'm trying to get my dick sucked. Where the hoes at? So you go from that coming through my block to you get your dick sucked by any chick in the world now.
So let me ask you a question.
Uh-huh.
Why do Gene Deal get a bad rep from everybody out there?
Because he's telling something that nobody don't want to hear. You know what that is?
What's that?
The truth. Who the fuck want to hear the truth? You know what I'm saying? And the truth is, from his vantage point, and everybody got a different version of the truth depending on who mouth they come out.
Right.
And he's going against somebody that everybody on their dick. See, people chase the bag. You know when a nigga got the bag, he can't do no wrong.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, who was the dude that got the bag? Puff?
Yeah.
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 So ain't nobody going against him because he could cut your lifeline. So fuck my morals, values, and principles. In the truth, I got to stick with the money. So if you look at my interview with Gene, I had a lot of respect for Gene when I said, well, when did you dissolve your relationship? When he said, Puff offered some money. And he said, I don't want that shit. Once a nigga stop taking your money, he don't fuck with you. Because niggas will be still talking bad on the nigga, but still be on the payroll. Once a nigga say, look, I don't even want your fucking money no more. You know, like a chick, when you say, I'm not even fucking her no more. Like, I'll never fuck her again. You really ain't fucking with that girl no more.
Right.
So when Gene did that, I had a lot of respect for him. And I just think he just really wanted his story told. And again, everybody got a right to tell his story because he was there.
Gene is actually a real cool dude.
Gene
is a cool cat.
He bear witness to some shit. You know what I'm saying? And again, nobody, I'm going to be real with you because while I'm out here tomorrow, I'm going to go to the spot where it happened at with Biggie, as well as the Nipsey Hussle mural and the, you know, all I know is Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles and shit like that. It's like if y'all come to New York, y'all might go to Junior's or some shit. And I'll be like, man, I ain't no fucking Junior's, you know what I'm saying? But I want to see the sights out here. And, you know, I just feel like when it come to Big, I just not satisfied with the answers I got.
Yeah, because ain't nobody went to jail for it and all that shit.
What kind of answers can you be looking for? Because you got Pac gone, you got Biggie gone. Mm. Why in the fuck did they bring Biggie out here telling me he had to come out here to do that shit anyway?
Listen to Gene.
After.
But let me tell you something.
Yeah, Gene said that was Puff.
Let me tell you something that's different about me. I do not group Biggie and Tupac together. It was too different because they was two different men to me.
Well, yeah, they were.
But I don't like the fact that we have to contrast them all the time. I don't do that because I fucked with Tupac. I like the fucking music. When Easy Mo B did Temptation, I was like, yo, this shit is fire. You know what I'm saying? Even from all the way when my homies called. Even Brenda's Got a Baby, because I really was a fan of Tupac. I know about Pour Out a Little Liquor. I know all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I know Ambitions of a Rider. And truthfully, I like pre-Death Row Pop. Right. More than I like the Death Row Pop. You know what I'm saying? So when Big came out here, I remember Easy Mo B might not want me to say this, but I'm going to say it. When he did the song Going Back to Cali, Easy Mo B called me and said, yo, I just did a song for Big. I don't think this shit is a good idea because they might think he's mocking
them. He was
really paying homage.
Well, it came out at the wrong time.
See, and that's the thing. It's the timing with everything.
And see, he thinks like the common man out here, just like he said, he was mocking us. So
I didn't feel.
But it wasn't.
As an artist, I didn't feel because I could listen to the song and I could decipher lyrics.
Yeah, you an MC though. You talking about the average street cat though.
Now coming from a hood aspect, I'm gonna go fuck that motherfucker.
Yeah. Not just that, just the tension and all the shit that happened with Pac.
Now,
and then here come the song.
Truth, wrong, big, truth, wrong time yeah. for the song release.
But in big defense, though, when you really, really, really think about it, he never really retaliated against Pac. Like he, like Tupac,
retaliate for what though? Because Eve.
No,
Eve. Faith.
No, listen. Yeah, because Faith. The point I'm making is that. He always felt like I didn't do nothing wrong to him. I don't hate him. But he hate me because he think I wronged him. But I can't match the hate with hate. You understand what I'm saying? But this nigga's kicking my ass. Like he, you know, when a nigga opened the song, that's why I fuck your bitch, you fat motherfucker. When I first heard it, I was like, oh shit. Because it was so blatant. Now Big on that booth is fucking incredible. Us in New York was like, oh, get this nigga, man. Like, because we feel like can't nobody fuck with your pen. But he never really wanted to do it like
that. I heard it's a song out there, though.
I never heard of that.
Somebody told me, I heard that it was a song out there, and they said that shit was crazy, too.
No. You know, again, fuck it. We this exclusive. Who got one out there is Jay-Z had one called Dead or Alive. I think it might be out there somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And it's Jay-Z and Sauce Money.
Mm-hmm.
And Sauce Money didn't really go at Big, but Jay-Z kind of, he played his puppet master shit. And he, you know, anytime you ever notice early on when Jay-Z had beef, sometimes he didn't respond. He would get other people to respond with him, for him. Like when he was beefing with Jazz O, the whole State Property responded, even when he was beefing with Mobb Deep and Nas. Remember, State Property was up at Hot 97. They was going in, but he was sitting there. Like this, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, that shit is, yo, when I think about that shit, I really hated that time because I just loved West Coast music. Like that's my favorite genre.
Well, you know, I'm gonna tell you some real shit, man, not to cut you off. And this is something I know I ain't gonna put names out there though.
Uh-huh.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
When the NBA championship is on the line, every pass, every shot, and every dribble is immediately, undeniably consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real. Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, real blood, and real tears.
Trust me, I know what it takes to bring home a championship ring.
The regular season is tough, but these games are a completely different level.
Now is the time when legacies are made.
The best team will bring home the Larry O'Brien Trophy and add their name to basketball history.
Will we see a battle between marquee franchises, or will we see a new champ be crowned?
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
These are the moments of unscripted, pure entertainment that only happen on the hardwood.
You've waited all season for this. It's time to take it to the next level. Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk, get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The whole Quad City shooting thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know Puff and Big took the blame for that. But that was actually behind him on Old Boy That Bread.
Yeah, I don't see. I don't even. That's what I'm saying. I really don't.
What's the brother's name? Not to put you in no shit. This is me talking. What's the brother's name? Not Haitian Jack. The other Jimmy Hinchman.
Okay. See, I really don't even. I don't even really know nothing about that because Jimmy Hinchman wasn't nothing to fucking play with.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Man, it's like he was a gangster dude. The thing is, I get $15,000-$20,000 from you, right? I don't give you your bread back, right? I gotta expect some kind of retaliation or something, you expect a nigga to holler at you. I know I would. I'd expect, I ain't paid this dude his money, he ain't nothing to play with, I ain't holler at him or whatever. I don't think they was trying to kill dude that night. I think they was just trying to,
Well, New York is the home of the gypsies and the robbers. Motherfucker will take anything from you. Back in the days, we used to take niggas' gold teeth out there. Literally. Take your fucking teeth out.
Where you selling that?
You go to the sale.
James said,
You don't put it in your mouth.
James said, where you selling that?
Like how you got pawn shops?
Yeah.
The pawn shop used to have a skin. So we used to call scaling it. So you see like the chains 8 got on? Motherfucker would take that. They ain't want it. We wanted the money. So we go to the pawn shop. And they had a scale where they weigh it. And they say, yo, I'll give you $45. Shit, it ain't cost me nothing. I take that $45, nigga, go buy some beer and some Chinese food and some weed, and that was it. And you just do that shit every day. And that's how niggas survive. So I think when Tupac came out there, he went around dudes that he kind of really didn't know. He knew, but he didn't know. And with any dudes, when you deal with certain caliber of motherfuckers, there's consequences to that shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that shit spiraled into that. But that situation, look at all that shit that spiraled into that shit. Biggie caught the blame for some shit that ain't had nothing to do with.
Yeah.
But now look, though. You saying you're the king of New York. It's the title that come with that now. So
that's some
if you're the king
though.
Of New York, but he admired the movie King of New York. That's why he's calling himself Frank White. He told me he was supposed to have a skit on his album about how he's the king of New York. He's coming out of jail. If you notice, Ready to Die starts with him getting out of jail. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It starts like that. So he's supposed to do a skit getting out of jail. And Junior Mafia was like Jimmy Jump and all them like that. So he took on a moniker, but he didn't go through with it. And Tupac mom was like, yo, if you the king of New York, you know who the fuck did what to me. And tell me. But he was like, I warned you with certain shit to stay away from certain people. Because see, this is how it is with us in New York. We don't fuck with everybody. If this motherfucker got the reputation of he's a robber, or he a stick-up nigga, stay the fuck away from him, because New York is notorious for dice games. It might be a dice game and 60,000 down on the floor.
Okay, what was all the guys that fuck with the Tupacs and Biggie to fix their situation? Not the Puffies to come and say, even Puffy, come on, man, we need to all sit down at the table and talk this one out.
Niggas was in too deep with certain people, because you got to remember, James, on some real shit, well, you got to know, there's a lot of extortion going on in New York, man. When them real niggas started saying, I'm going to take some money and put it into this rap shit, I changed the rules now. Because we could talk how we shoot niggas and all that shit. They really do that shit. And he's going to you, and now he's in the party you in, because he got just as much money as you. And he bought out the fucking bar. So you went in there, I'm Puff Daddy. Who the fuck all the liquor? He bought it out. Well, who the fuck is he? Well, he's such and such from such and such. He bought 50 bottles of fucking Moet Nectar at $300 a bottle. But he really did that so he could holler at you. So now he come to you and he say, yo, look, I got an artist trying to get into this game. You gonna help me. You know what I'm saying? And either you gonna help him or your ass is grass. So it was a lot of that going on in New York. You know what I'm saying? So the sad thing was, I'm a mediator by nature. You know what I'm saying? I feel like if I know you and I know you, when I come outside and that white chalk is on the floor and that tape, somebody I know is on the ground. So my thing is to try to stop that shit before it get. But then when before it got mediated, Pac went to jail. And then when he came out, he went right to death row. So now he jumped into a robbery that was prior to him. So Puff and Suge, for whatever reason, had they shit going on. And if you go on this side, you automatically, well, I said he had something to do with me getting shot. I'm going to stick with that narrative. He don't like him. Mary J. Blige is over here with a, oh, shit. This shit fit right in. And then me thinking of Pop, marketing genius, because he did go to acting school. You know, he know a lot of shit. He starts saying, I could sell some fucking records with this shit. And then he went all the way in. So by that time now, it's like, it's too far gone, because how could you mediate some shit once the disses come out? Now everybody ego's involved.
Right.
Yeah.
That's some terrible shit, but too. The greatest is gone now.
Hey, but I wanted to know, when all that shit was going on and you was traveling back and forth, I knew the New York love was what it was, but did people out here feel like, why you fucking with the New York niggas?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I was always my own motherfucker. I never was a part of a clique.
Okay.
You know, I wasn't a part of the Ruthlesses or the Aftermaths or the Death Rows or the Lynch Mobs, or I came into the game by my fucking self.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a clique to run with. My clique was just the niggas that I fucked with.
Yeah, that's true. You one of the only rappers out here from LA that didn't get put on that didn't come through that NWA family tree.
I didn't come through that because I always had my own mind about shit. I was cool with niggas from New York, and then niggas knew I was. I didn't catch none of that flack.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
why
yeah.
you fucking with them niggas? Because I never looked at it as LA New York beef. I mean, shit. I knew Suge and them had problems with Puffy and them. And Puffy and them had problems. I mean, you had a couple of little stragglers on the side who wanted to get on, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, I didn't have no problem with not that nigga from New York.
You know what's deep, though, right? With power comes a lot of responsibility. And if Biggie had to say go, the whole New York would have turned on LA. If he had to say, yo, y'all, let's do it.
I think at that time, I think L.A. would have did the same thing.
Facts.
Because now, you done lost Pac. Now there's a respect thing.
I'm talking about when they alive. When they both was alive. When they both was alive and it first started, if Biggie had said, go, because he
It was at that point to where if both sides
took
the reins and was like, fuck New York, fuck L.A., and it came from them you would have had whole cities like, man, fuck them,
fuck them.
You know, whatever. But you
think about it now. Puff live out here.
That's crazy.
Got a crib out here.
Who?
Puff.
Oh, do
he? Yeah, you live out
James
here.
James Word?
Yeah.
Nah.
Puff, I don't think James got no problem with Puff.
No, I'm just saying.
I ain't got no problem with nobody.
The deep shit about it was, again, and we got to remember, man, these niggas was like 24, 25. So the age they was at, these little niggas right now is crazier than them.
Yeah, we got some crazy little niggas.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you really think about it, it was a lot of media sensationalizing a lot of shit. It was a lot of people playing both sides. Niggas fucking the same girls, that pillow talk. It was a lot of shit. So I use all that shit as a lesson now. That's why I don't get caught up in a lot of shit I see in here on the internet. I see my name. I see niggas making Instagram posts about me, talking all types of stupid shit. And I be like, yo, look, man. As a man, I walk the street like every other man. Who I came here with? By my motherfucking self.
Right.
I'm all the way in L.A. I travel everywhere alone. You know why? Because I'm a man. I'm going to handle mine. I'm going to do my dirt by my lonely. And if I'm going to get done dirty, nobody else gonna get caught in my crossfire that's meant for me. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if I put something out there, nobody can say I seen him do anything either. You know what I'm saying? So that's how I move.
Right.
In every city, in every fucking town.
Well,
so I avoid dumb shit.
You need to be careful while you're out here. They ain't boarding shit up for nothing right now.
Oh, no, no, facts. But
you gotta remember.
But I'm careful everywhere, though. I'm not naive.
You got a push on?
Come on. Man, he just came from out the plane, man.
Yeah, I got
it. Man, goddamn, we can edit that shit.
No.
I'm saying he just came off the plane. I don't think he can go on a plane with no pistol.
I ain't got no pistol, but.
You make a pit stop, huh, James, you know when you get out the airport.
Come out here, man. Let me know, man.
My thing is this. I'm going to tell y'all something. I move with love energy, right? And that shit, your aura sometimes, motherfucker might want to be aggressive with you, but he see that, yo, this motherfucker got, yo, I fuck with you. Because I get
you
niggas.
You in California, man. You might run across a stupid motherfucker.
Well, listen, but look, I'm from Brooklyn, though. You understand what I'm saying? Brooklyn, listen, I survived the grimy 90s in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm. It's not going to save your life.
Hey, look, what I'm telling you is, James, you couldn't even get on the subway.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Right. It's 30 niggas that's coming on the subway car with hammers. I ain't talking about guns. I'm talking about hammers. And they're hitting you with the fucking hook in your head.
Right.
So how I move, I'm trained to, I could sense danger before that shit. My spite, like, hold up. I'm getting the fuck out. Don't make me pussy. It make me cautious and make me smart. You know what I'm saying? So if we was in this spot and it's a nigga in here being unruly, I'm like, yo, I'm going to get the fuck out of here. Because if you come over here with that shit, I know what I'm going to do. So I'm going to remove myself from the situation.
Right.
That's how I move. And any motherfucker who come to me with some bullshit, you just got to come correct. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But I love black people. So I don't put borders. I don't put West Coast. I don't put East Coast. I don't put the South. If I see a black man, I'm going to greet you as a black man and a black woman.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Because regardless, we all catch hell together. And when you in the motherfucking penitentiary, they didn't lock you up because you was from Cali. They didn't put no trumped up charges on you for that. They ain't put no trumped up charges on me because I'm from Brooklyn. They all, yo, y'all all niggas. And they put you all in the fucking same cell. Y'all figure that shit out while y'all in there.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So that's how I move now. And people saying to me, because I talk a lot of positive shit, and they say, how you on some positive shit with you executive producer show called The Gangster Chronicles?
Yeah, I ain't trying to kick y'all off. And this probably going to be edited. Man, Biden is up 264 now over Trump, 214. I don't know if this shit going to make a difference for us.
264, 214.
Yeah, he only needs 6 more points. Trump might as well concede this shit right now at this point.
Right.
He ain't never going to concede this.
No.
That nigga ain't never going to
concede. And I'm going to tell y'all now, it's going to be some bullshit
shit
behind this, dog, because he already got his lawyers up there, and he already kind of telling people in so many words, if they cheat me, you know, we got to activate. He already putting his codes out there to people.
Yeah, he already declaring war. But this is the cold part about it. If we was out there acting like that, blocking off white people and posting our guns up and taking their signs and shit, we'll be animals, we'll be all kind of monsters and all other kind of shit. We're a gang.
Yeah.
The same shit they doing out there with them big ass trucks and blocking off buses and shit. This is a motherfucking gang. White boys with a red hat on say, make America.
Can I tell you
great
something? In Brooklyn, they just had like little riots and shit. That shit was white people, man.
No, they actually mad. But what I'm saying,
no, I'm talking about when, but they so-called marching, and this is important. I want to say this on this platform, right? They're saying Black Lives Matter, right? But they gentrify our neighbors. Black housing matters too, right? Stop saying Black Lives Matter if you want to move us out our fucking neighborhoods and displace us into different places and then act like y'all care.
I mean, I understand that part. I'm talking about where we at today and what these motherfuckers is out here doing today. And I say this to, and I'm not promoting no violence, but I'm saying this. All of these brothers that's in the hood, everybody that's quick to go shoot his own kind.
Facts.
Look what these white boys are doing. They posting up and they getting ready. And not one of these people, the feds ain't raiding them because they're doing it. If I was on Facebook, showing all my pistols, they coming in.
Yep.
But these motherfuckers is publicizing every motherfucking thing they doing. And they promoting hey, they promoting violence. They telling you what they finna do if Trump lose. Mm-hmm. If you fuck with Trump, we coming to fuck with you. I just say everybody need to get off their ass, fuck this gangbanging shit for a month, and let's stand together. And not go out there and look for it, but prepare yourself for a situation.
But, right? But think about the inceptions of the gangs. It was to protect the neighborhood. It was to protect.
Not when we're doing each other.
No, that's what I'm saying.
And I'm saying everybody.
Think about just, the acronyms of what the gangs stand for.
But I'm telling everybody today, you have to look out your window and see what the fuck is going on. If you're not ready, you ain't going to have time to get ready.
Yeah, no.
Because if they coming the way they coming, and I watch them how they blocking people in and want to fight women, the women is more aggressive than the men.
Nah, these chicks ain't playing.
They got their guns.
Nowadays,
they got their military vests on. They got their guns walking in. I mean, come on, man.
That's why.
If that was black people, we'd be all kind of motherfuckers.
You know what I do, James? I go to the fucking shooting range.
I don't need to go to the shooting range. I learned that shit from
No, but my thing shit. Is, my I thing is, I love the fact that I could do it. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't take advantage of course I could fucking hit a nigga across the street in the hood or whatever, but I'm talking about a motherfucker learn how to really, really shoot. And I don't have the intention on shooting none of my people. I have an intention on defending my people because it's my legal right now. Mm. See, one thing we do, because we don't trust the government, we be like, fuck the laws. I don't trust the government. But some of them laws could benefit your ass. So if you could get a gun license, go get you a motherfucking gun license.
Exactly.
If you could buy a pistol, go buy a pistol.
What I'm talking about is the things that we have to look at now. I'm talking about we are in a survival mode right now today. Right now.
Right this minute.
They board the shit up because if Trump lose, they know what might happen. If Trump wins, they think black people is finna act stupid. So whoever wins or loses,
it's inevitable. Something's gonna crack. Something. Yeah, definitely.
You see what I'm saying? This is what I'm trying to get y'all here to understand.
No, I do, but you know what's deep that we even sitting here arguing over
where the pistols at.
I'm talking about with politics. Black people, a lot of us is arguing with each other over what white man is really gonna do. Us the worst. Cause
instead
Biden,
of getting ready.
Yeah, because Biden, that motherfucker track record is fucked up.
Both of them is.
That's the point I'm making.
But here's the difference between Biden and Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Biden ain't out there promoting racism and all that other shit. Mm-hmm. He's not up front. If he is,
he's covert,
he ain't
up like front a with it.
Okay, Trump is out there with the business.
He's blowing back straight up.
He with it.
Yeah.
And he don't give a fuck. He care about Trump with his childish ass sometimes. He think he worried about Trump.
Most businessmen.
And he don't give a fuck about you, me, and nobody else.
That's it.
And I'm just saying we have to be ready. Mm-hmm. If motherfuckers don't look at this goddamn TV or pay attention to the radio, motherfuckers gonna run into some bullshit and them white boys gonna shoot you.
Yeah, for real. And with that being said, man, we don't been here for a minute.
Damn, we do.
Oh, that's right.
I talk for a fucking living, man. So y'all
don't get it. Man, that's all good. We've been here for a minute, man. We want to thank y'all, man, for tuning in to another episode of the Gangsta Chronicles, man, with our homeboy, man, Doggy Diamonds, man.
Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast.
You know, make sure y'all go check out Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast, man. And you know what, man? Go to the website, man, oggangstachronicles.com. Man, we will have a whole bunch of shit on there for y'all. Some amazing shit, man. I might even have James do a Sunday night radio show on there, man.
Man, let's do that. And protect yourselves out there. Yeah, I'm talking about everybody.
Stay dangerous. Sure.
Peace.
Peace.
In the pressure cooker of the NBA playoffs, there's no room to fake it.
Every pass, shot, and dribble is immediately consequential.
The playoffs are the time for the real.
Real stakes, real emotions, real sweat, blood, and tears. Real legacies.
Which teams will rise from the chaos? Which teams will conquer?
Which team is going to make this year their year?
You already know when and where to find these moments of unscripted, pure entertainment.
Don't miss 1 minute of the action. Tune into the NBA playoffs on ESPN and ABC.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk?
get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't give Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.